This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Merciful Creator, your hand is open wide to satisfy the needs of every living creature. Make us always thankful for your loving providence, and grant that we, remembering the account that we must one day give, may be faithful stewards of your good gifts, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Good morning. From the rainbow of colors that you see people wearing today, it is not in lieu of the first reading Lydia the Tattooed Lady Sunday, but it is Curcio Sunday across the Diocese of Southeast Florida. And today we celebrate that particular ministry that has meant so much to so many and continues to be an opportunity for many more. The prayer that I just shared with you is the prayer for the stewardship of creation that is part of the Rogation Day prayers. And traditionally in this church, as we approach the Ascension, it would be prayers for those Rogation Days that come more out of an agrarian society. But the theme of that prayer certainly fits our theme today that we hear in the reading: being faithful stewards of all God's gifts. Once we have given everything back to God, it somewhat takes the pressure off. We can have a lot of stress. Perhaps you have heard the story of the man who goes to the doctor because he fears he has a terminal disease. And the doctor calls him in after the tests and says, "I have some bad news." And he says, "How long have I got?" And the doctor says, 10. The man, very nervous, excited, 10 years, 10 months, 10 weeks. And the doctor says, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We can get so caught up in so many things that can be something as drastic as whether our life is going to end soon. All kinds of stressors. And the importance of this particular Sunday that we celebrate, Curcio Sunday, but especially in lieu of the gospel we hear today, is that we don't have to worry about that stuff, because if we have given it to God, God's going to take care of us. There is the ultimate gift that we are promised today, the gift of peace. Peace not as the world gives peace, but the inner peace that we are promised as part of the fruit of the Spirit that will enable us to be calm of heart regardless of what is happening in our world, regardless of what is happening to us, what is being done unto us or being withheld from us. It is a promise we're given. It's not like the gifts of the Spirit where somebody gets wisdom and somebody gets understanding and somebody gets teaching. It's part of the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we are promised. If you are a disciple and faithfully following Christ, you will have inner peace. I think in this day and age especially, it is the greatest evangelism tool that we have. If we truly are experiencing that peace, it is going to show to other people. And they will want that in their life as well. The converse of that is, if it's a promise to me, and I think I'm following Christ, and I don't have that inner peace, guess what? I need to look at my life a little bit. Maybe there's some priorities that I am going to need to rearrange Because it's a promise to us that we're given that we'll have it. Does it happen all at once? No. It does take time. It is a process for us. A little story that brings this point out to me is one of my favorites, what's called a children's story, but I think it's really an adult story, just put in children's language, called The Velveteen Rabbit. Many of you are probably familiar with it. But there's a dialogue that's very important in that story that goes like this. The rabbit asks the toy horse, "What is real?" They're lying side by side near the nursery fender. "Does it mean having things buzz inside you and stick out handles?" And the skin horse answers, "Real isn't how you are made. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Sometimes, does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off." I see a lot of real people as I look out there. "Your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who just don't understand." We are called to become real. And we are called to become real because of that peace that is promised to us by God. I can remember a time when I was in a deep, deep valley and thinking, I can't go any lower than this. And somebody said to me something that I've said to others, but it hit me when they said it to me at that time is, "Well, what's the worst thing that could happen?" And before I could answer, they said, "The worst thing that could happen is you die and you go to heaven and you live with Jesus forever." Didn't seem like a bad idea at the time. But really, what do we have to fear? If we are truly living with Christ, there's nothing, as Romans tells us, that's going to take that away from us. It's a promise. Jesus has some incredible words to us today. And he says, you know, if you understood what it meant that I'm going to my Father, you would rejoice. Now, we can't get totally in touch with what that is, but think of this as an analogy. I met my wife, Dee, on a trip. I was a travel director. We started dating long distance. I'd see her before a trip, after a trip, for a weekend. Nobody else saw us. We were just being romantic. But in the weeks when I was traveling, she was talking to her friends about me. When the time finally came for me to meet these friends, they knew all about me. They accepted me as if I was their long-lost friend, and I'd never met them. Now, we all have those kinds of situations we could relate to in our own lives, but think of that simple analogy of how much that meant for me. How much more must mean for us that Jesus goes to the Father on our behalf? And he promises us that gift of peace. Now, there's some practical considerations I want to mention today about this. He says, "The Spirit will remind you of everything I told you." And I think a lot of our experience of growing into being real is being in tune with getting those reminders. One of the ways we get those reminders is through something like Curcio. Most people who go on a Curcio weekend then join a small group, a group of people they meet with on a regular basis who can echo back to them what they are saying about their spiritual journey. And it doesn't have to be a Curcio small group. It can be another small group. It can be your spouse. It can be a friend. But the point is, we need other people who can echo back to us things that we have said to them about their journey to remind us. I'm blessed to have a little group of priests that get together on a regular basis. And when I start going down the valley and say, you know, there, I don't know, God's just not helping me with this one. And somebody else will immediately spark up and say, Marty, remember last year when you had this and this and this happening and how God pulled you through just at the right time? The Spirit will remind you of all that I have told you. This is the value of a group. They can echo back to us. They can remember for us. The difficulty is when we try to go this walk alone, we're going to talk ourselves into all sorts of horrible things. We need each other, if nothing else, to remind us of all that Jesus told us. There's another thing as well, and I've mentioned this before. We should all have little snippets of Scripture that are our life verses. They might change over time, but we need that little verse that's going to be our reminder of when the Spirit helped us before. I was talking to Donna after the 7:45, and she said, well, what are your life verses? And I spouted off three right away. But one that right now is important for me is, perfect love casts out all fear. And if I've ever prayed with you for healing, I always include that when there's something that I seem to think that there is a notion of fear going on that needs to be healed. Because for me, there was a time in my life where fear was keeping me from being the person that I was supposed to be. What am I afraid of? And that scripture came to me. Now, when I get into that situation again, bingo. That phrase from Scripture comes to my mind, perfect love casts out all fear, and it takes me back to remember those instances where God helped me to overcome that fear, and bingo, I'm back out of the valley on the mountaintop again. It's important for us. We have these opportunities. You know, St. Paul, in his letters, I think it's 13 times in his letters, he says, grace and peace to you and our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, he always says it in that order. He never says peace and grace. He always says grace and peace to you. Why? I think it's because we have to be willing to open our hearts to receive the grace before we can have the inner peace. We have to be willing to go through that process of becoming real. And the more we become real, the more we experience that inner peace. It's God's promise to us. May that peace reign in all of our hearts. Amen.